Going through the car wash this week. A potential return of Deko Modise.
Kaizer Chiefs can still promote youth players. It's just signing from other teams that they can't do.
So they can sign me, basically. Kaizer Chiefs.
Deko, the return.
What's
the
return of the general.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
Where to next for Benny?
Ajax, possibly, if they get promoted. Come back to Cape Town. And can you imagine that?
It will be so dope.
Benny McCarthy at Ajax against...
Where it all started.
It'll be a great story, though.
And a very rare compliment from Sean Roberts.
Dude, I'm 37 now. They're still there.
Look amazing for 37.
Wow.
Look amazing, my man. Wow. He was stressed, bro.
Yeah. You can hit that.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. Yeah, sure. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is Ahlangana Khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. On today's show, Kevin Johnson out again. Kaizer Chiefs transfer ban. Mm. And will Benny McCarthy return? But I am not alone in this studio. I am your host, Slu Paho, and I am joined by the man himself, Sean Roberts.
Away!
How are you doing, mate?
Good in you, brother.
All good, all good.
Magic, magic.
And also... the general.
How are you?
Deko Modise, how you doing?
Fantastico el clasico.
And Clint Roper?
Clint Roper? CR8.
You're wasting our Philly, man.
Sorry, go. All right, Kevin Johnson, fired again. Man, it's been a tough season for our guy Kevin here. He has been confirmed sacked by Black Leopards after 5 matches. He lost 4 out of those 5. And this is the second time this PSL season he's been fired. He was also sacked by AmaZulu earlier this season.
The question is, what does he do now? Right? Surely he's run out of options. Surely that wheel has now said, sor.
It's remarkable. What other league could you say this about? Fired twice in the same league.
That's crazy.
Both times, by the way, after 5 matches.
Has that happened before?
I don't think it has.
That's cheaper. Yeah. I think cheaper as the record for firing.
Yeah, firing the coach, but I'm saying, has a coach been fired twice in a season before?
I've never heard about it, actually.
Never heard it before.
Like, literally just after halfway through as well.
Yeah. Similar records, by the way. So, AmaZulu, he lost 3 out of the 5 matches. And then with Black Leopards, he lost 4 out of the 5 matches that he managed. So,
not bad.
Tough record.
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, Kevin's a great guy. I've never worked under him, but, you know, I've heard some good things about him. He's just obviously going through a bit of a rough patch as a coach.
Yeah.
But it's hard as a neutral, as an outsider, it's very, very, very difficult to see where he's going to go from here.
Yeah.
Because for me, I think, imagine, dude, you're just getting fired, and the next thing, while you're lying there in the hospital, the team wins 2 games in a row.
Right.
Dude, that always happens, eh?
That makes the situation worse for your heart, yeah?
Shame. We wish him well, though.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's sad. And I think the coaching job was given to, what's his name?
Alan Clark.
Yeah. The guy that he's been working with for so long. And of course, probably maybe the same system that the coach was using is probably using it. But sometimes it helps. You have a different voice in the dressing room. Mm. So I think that was one of the things that changed actually for Black Leopards. Just a different voice. Probably maybe the same instructions, same message, but just a different voice sometimes. And as coaches, sometimes, all the time, we're getting judged by games that we win. And it's just unfortunate he's going through a rough patch, actually, because he's always been a great coach. And he's a coach that actually wins cup. I remember when he was at Platinum Stars. You know, they were very, very, very problematic to the league. But now is it
not at the end.
Probably maybe those are those mangoes and avocados that he has at the end of it. You know? But yeah, but I'm sure he'll bounce back. I mean, with his experience, there's so many coaches that have been working in the PSL for so long, and they still find jobs either way. So I think he'll be fine. But for now, until the season ends, I don't think there's an opportunity for him.
No, I don't see it. Maybe NFT. I don't know if he'll go to NFT, but I can't see anything in there.
But they're still looking, right?
Ajax is still looking. There was talk of Benny McCarthy going there, funny enough.
We will talk about that later in the show.
Which I also can't see happening, to be honest. I don't think Benny's going to go to NFT, is he? In my opinion.
Yeah, we will discuss this later because there's some funny stories that came out about Benny earlier today. Yeah. But elsewhere in the news, I think the story of the week, Kaizer Chiefs transfer ban. I had the big interview yesterday. I spoke to a lawyer about it. And from my side, what I can see is that this is more so a corruption issue with the Madagascan FA. But thoughts on this? I mean, this could potentially derail Kaizer Chiefs next season.
You know, well, this could derail them this season, in effect. I mean, mentally, what does it do? Do you know?
Yeah.
Look, I hope not. I still feel, yeah, I mean, it's their league to lose right now, isn't it? Obviously.
Yeah.
But I think going in the next two transfer windows, knowing that you cannot add any substance to your current squad. Luckily for them, they've got a good squad.
Yeah.
For me, not enough depth at the moment.
They're too senior as well.
Too senior. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. They always have been though, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've always had this sort of senior crop of players that sort of run the show. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, eh? I hope it gets overturned because Kaizer Chiefs it's good content as well, you know? We love talking always about them. There's always something happening at Kaizer Chiefs.
The biggest fan base in the country, too.
Absolutely. Probably in Africa, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bud. What do you think, Tex? What's your expert opinion on this?
I think it's bad, man, for the fact that you know you can't sign anybody. Not that we know that Kaizer Chiefs actually sign too many players, but for the fact that, you know, you're restricted from doing that, I think it's bad for any team.
Yeah.
And for a team that actually will be, if it happens that they win the league, they'll be in Champions League.
Mm.
In Champions League, you need depth, and they don't have that even in the league, the PSL itself. So for them, you know, it's going to be...
They do lack a bit of depth, eh?
They do, Chief. And imagine now going to Champions League with the players that they have. It's a problem because now you need to manage domestic and Champions League as well. They don't have the numbers.
Yeah, I never even thought of the Champions League, to be honest.
Yeah. So now you as a coach or as a team, you'll be looking at maybe the guys that you actually wanted to let go end of the season. So now you need to take those options, you know, one-year options there, the guys that you actually loaned out. They need to come back and actually have the team. So you end up having the squad of maybe 20% of the players that you don't want to use. But because, you know, the numbers, they don't make sense, you need to add those numbers in. I think it's going to be very difficult for Kaizer Chiefs and for the players as well, that they know for themselves that they're not going to be used, but they're there because, you know, they might be used maybe sparingly. So,
yeah.
So I don't think it's a good thing for any team. But also, it also teaches you as well. You know, other teams as well should learn from this because sometimes we take advantage of signing a player very quickly, not following the proper procedures. Whether Dex was playing in an amateur league or whether or not, you must respect the other teams as well. You know, the other teams that actually helped you to find this crop of a player to at the stage where he is.
Yeah.
So I don't think his achievements also follow the proper procedures. If they did, good luck to them. But if they don't, they didn't. It's not the first time that I've heard a South African team doing this. And most of the time, when they do it locally, they get away with it because we grew up supporting all these big teams and we're scared to actually challenge them.
Yeah.
You know, for the fact that they've been challenged like this, it was very, very interesting to see whether Kaizer Chiefs will be able to come out with evidence saying that actually this boy wasn't playing in a professional setup. Because now the money that they want this boy to pay, and I doubt Kaizer Chiefs actually pay that.
Yeah.
So, but still, we'll see. It'll be very, very interesting to see. But for me, and I would say Kaizer Chiefs, they've done shady businesses before.
Yo, how long does this process take now? Like, what's do you know, Slew?
This is the insane part to me, is that Dax was signed in August 2018. This ruling was just like, it's a year and a half later now, and this comes out. I don't know how long the appeal process is going to take considering that, but what I do know about this is it kind of draws a larger question about governing football bodies in Africa, because one, I can tell you this from my perspective, it looks like Kaizer Chiefs are innocent here. It looks like Dax was a free agent, and then the team, Forza Juniors, that they signed him from seemed to have kind of tampered with documents and made it seem like he was still signed to them. That's why this fine has been issued. There's a lot of blurry details. But it's just this strange thing of how are we still in the age of technology and the age of all of this stuff, how are we still dealing with contract dispute?
It's ridiculous.
It's remarkable to me. And so the question that I'd ask you guys is, moving forward, how do we stop this from happening again? Because, we also have this issue where club officials are also part of the governing bodies. Mm. In this country, Irvin Khoza, for example, is PSL chairman. He's also chairman of Orlando Pirates. So how do we stop this situation from happening again?
But you mean, remember, it's not just, I mean, I think Barcelona or Chelsea went through the same thing.
Exactly.
So as much as you can say, you know, how is this still happening? I mean, it's the biggest team in the world, and it's happened to them.
Still make those mistakes.
So I don't know, Slew. Like, if they can't get it right, are you expecting a little league like the PSL to get it right? You know what I mean?
Even worse, Madagascar.
Madagascar. So, yeah.
But just to protect also the image of the team, I think the maybe Dax himself or the team that he was playing for couldn't be honest in the first place. So I think one of them could have, you know, took it upon themselves to actually make sure that the players were registered properly.
Mm.
And sometimes you find those teams, like especially in Madagascar, they're not asking for much. Mm. Give them your soccer jerseys, your beeps, your soccer boots, something like that. They don't ask for much. But also, it's just that,
fee,
no, but it's just that for me, I think there's always this thing, no disrespect to KZ Chiefs, but there's always this thing of big teams disrespecting the smaller teams all the time.
Yeah.
And you find...
That happens worldwide, eh?
Yeah, it happens worldwide. Even in the country where you find an official at the big team having talks with a player before even the contract expires.
Yes, we spoke about this last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just that there's so many gray areas within our league. And then when this happens, it's just that it's said that it happens when Kizichi is on top of the game, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just that those are the kind of things that people need to respect. You need to respect other teams as well, other players as well. You know, even Dex wanted to come to play in South Africa, but proper registration needs to be followed.
Yeah, of course.
And I think it applies to them as well. They wouldn't want any other team to do the same thing to them. So they don't need to do that to other teams as well. It's just that I feel like there's so much disrespect in small teams, whether it's Madagascar or not. I'm just speaking locally now. There's so much disrespect that happens.
Like a monopoly of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if KZ Chiefs are innocent on this, I think this also, it's a learning step for them. They need to make sure that going forward, they need to make sure that they're signing players that are properly proper.
Well, we can only hope that they're innocent.
Yeah,
I hope they're innocent
because I would love to see KZ Chiefs doing well in the Champions League.
Mm.
I'd love to see them adding to the squad. You know, it's. I mean, this is the right time, I think, for players as well that in the PSL looking at KZ Chiefs. Like, I think for the first time in a while, players will actually feel like I want to play for KZ Chiefs now because they're doing so well. They're playing and the crowd are coming there. So I think it'll be so nice if the situation is reversed so that they can sign better players. And because we also want to see a fresh dominance in the league. I mean, Sundowns has been dominating for so long. So if KZ Chiefs can do the same, it will be interesting in the league.
It's theirs to lose, eh?
Yeah.
It's theirs to lose, bro.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, when I spoke to the lawyer yesterday, he said KZ Chiefs can still promote youth players. They can still sell. It's just signing from other teams that they can't do. But there's still options for them. They can
sign me, basically.
They can sign free agents.
Okay. KZ Chiefs.
Come on. The return.
What's
that?
The return of the general.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
I'll sell t-shirts.
Yeah. Show. Speaking of gents who dominate in the midfield, I got Sompo Kekana for 10 quick fire questions. 10 quick fire is where we get your favorite PSL players on the line and put them on the spot. Play that funky music.
Hello, I'm Sompo Kekana from Mamelodi Sundowns. Here are my quick 10 quick fire questions.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you've played with?
Got to be Tre. So it's Bryce Muriri, Dennis Onyango, and Sianda Zwane.
And then who is the flashiest dresser?
I have three also. Used to be Tiko Mdise, Papi Zodwane was one of them, and Muzi Mashaba.
I'm liking the top three ones. Let's see if you have three for this one. Who is the worst dressed?
I have three. I have myself, Dennis Onyango, and Surprise Muriri.
The two names that are coming up again. Who is a teammate who thinks he's funny, but he's actually not?
Lafour Anthony and Jabalaya Winnie.
What is the worst mistake that you've made in a match?
To pass an opponent, which I thought, remember, I just moved from Celtics to Sundowns. So on that week we played Celtic. So my mind was still fresh from coming from a Celtic camp. So they called me. I just passed without looking because I could recognize the voice.
What is your favorite footballing memory?
Was to go to Alexandria in Egypt and win the African Championship.
And then what is the best goal that you've scored in a match?
Was in Limbe in Cameroon when I scored for final from a center line.
Was that in a qualifying match or friendly?
Yeah, World Cup qualifiers.
What is your favorite car?
Tiguan VW.
What is your favorite local food? Favorite South African dish?
It's when I eat pap and masonja.
And lastly, what is your favorite holiday destination?
When I go to the village in Zavedia.
Love it.
Yes.
Love
thank
it.
KK, thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
How's that worst mistake in a match, brother? He passes to someone he recognizes, but it's the wrong team.
Oh, man. What a gent. What a player.
Yeah,
hey?
He is.
I see his contract. I read in the Duma that his contract negotiations have been put on hold for a while. I wonder why that is. That's interesting.
Yeah, his contract expires now in June.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that they'd want to keep for sure.
They've got to keep him, surely.
But I don't think Lompo will leave there. Probably maybe it's maybe finer details that needs to be put
yeah.
there. Maybe also looking beyond playing.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of negotiations you can just...
Yeah, coaching just role.
Yeah,
or
it can't just happen overnight. So you need to be properly set.
Yeah.
Discuss. So
he's an asset, that's for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, the surprise story for Sundowns was Andile Jali this season, but other midfield general for them has been Tlompo for sure.
For sure.
Do we have a joke?
Oh!
Of the day.
Are we ready?
I don't know if I'll ever be.
Are we ready? Why isn't suntanning an Olympic sport? Because the best you can get is bronze.
Oh. Yes!
No.
I'll give you that one.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that one.
Thank you.
I'll give you that.
Thank you. I'm just getting better and better each week. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the white people's
I can't explain it.
That's their white boy humor.
We don't get that.
Loving it. All right. One of our favorite people to talk about, I think, Benny McCarthy.
Yeah.
Potential return. He's been linked with IX Cape Town. I have a great story that I saw when I Googled him this morning, but thoughts on him returning. Where do you think he should go? Options for him after the failure with Cape Town City FC.
Well, I still didn't think it was a failure.
Yeah, it wasn't.
To be honest.
They kind of let him go too soon, right?
Yeah, I feel they let him go too soon. So just sticking up for him in that aspect. Me and Teko were talking just before the podcast about where could he go?
Mm.
Nowhere, really. I mean, Ajax possibly is the only place he could go, but he's not going to go to NFD, I would presume, if they get promoted, which I think they should do. Then for sure, come back to Cape Town. I mean, can you imagine that?
Right, the return.
Can you imagine?
It will be so dope.
Benny McCarthy at Ajax against...
Where it all started.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, it'll be a great story, though. But you're right, Sean. I think...
I usually am. Thanks.
So in the PSL right now, we're looking at the teams that are actually looking for coaches. And those teams are teams that I think Benny will never coach.
Mm.
Like, those are your Barocas. Those are your...
No, of course.
Polokwane City, Black Leopards.
Chipa.
Cheaper, because now on Benny, what he says is like he's looking for the right team, the right chairman that he can work with, and if it's the right club, then he's open for.
Has Benny said that he's open to come back to South Africa?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he said that. So now when you look at what he said and looking at the teams, actually that they actually in desperate situation for a fresh idea and a new coach. Those are the teams that he might not even consider them. Mm. But when you look at the elite teams, like your Super Sport, your Verts, you know, your top 8 teams, they were top coaches there. You've got your Compella, you've got Eric Tinkler. We can go on so and forth. So,
yeah.
But now, it would be dope if Ajax was in the league, in PSL, I'm sure he was going to go there.
Yeah.
And for Cape Town football, it would be so dope. Yeah, like the derby now, Cape Town.
Well, I think for South African football in general, I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Like, we miss his post-match interviews because he doesn't hold anything back.
Yeah.
And we need such characters in the league because people are so scared to speak about how they feel. You know, we need people to be open and speak because at the end of the day, they're human beings, you know. And coming back to what it will mean for Cape Town, because there was this perception that when Benny left Cape Town City, certain supporters stopped coming because of they were supporting Benny.
Mm.
So now imagine if Benny comes now. Of course, it's going to divide the supporters in between, which is great for football.
Yeah.
So now when Ajax plays Cape Town City, you know, it's going to be so dope. I'm sure there's going to be fight on the pitch and off the pitch.
Yeah. Well.
And upstairs.
And upstairs, you know. So it's going to create that proper rivalry that we need in Cape Town. So people are going to be excited about it. But I just wish that Ajax Cape Town comes back. And then, yeah, man, so it can be three teams within the league. I hope Stellenbosch stays alive as well. So I think it'll be great for Cape Town.
You think that's on the cards, eh? You think Benny, if Ajax come up,
for me, if Benny comes back and coach and Ajax are there in the league, he should go to Ajax. It's a great story.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, there's a lot of youngsters there, and Benny also still young. You want to be in a position where your ideas, you can implement your ideas, because the younger ones are still fresh in their minds.
Yeah.
They easily adapt systems and stuff like that. So it'll be very, very, very interesting to see.
Exactly. Yeah, two great stories that I saw when I Googled him this morning. One,
what were you doing on Google this morning?
I was just doing my research, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Swiping right.
Nah, fam, I'm taken, boy. So Benny said, one, that he wishes in the future to lead Bafana Bafana to a World Cup. And two, more interestingly, he's going to job shadow Jose Mourinho. He's in Jose's WhatsApps right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool, amazing? I feel like character-wise, it makes sense in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, how many South African coaches can say that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Learning from the best.
Of course.
The greatest.
I just imagine the thought of watching a Tottenham game and you just see Benny on the bench with Jose.
Nah, I'll never allow him on the bench. but having I saw that as well. Like he's in talks with Jose, and what people don't know actually, like, Benny's a huge fan of Jose Mourinho. Even the type of stuff that he wanted to implement in the team, you could see that this is the stuff that he learned from Jose. And where Jose goes, he follows, because he's a big, big Jose Mourinho fan. And for him to actually be in that position where he still wants to learn as a coach and learning from the best, that's dope. And of course, he's got that kind of connection because of Benny has achieved so much in South Africa. He has achieved what nobody has ever achieved. He won Champions League. Not my Champions League and Trump Ogagan. Champions League, comrade.
The big one.
The big one.
So now he's at that level where he can actually have those kind of conversations with those kind of people.
Mm.
So it's great. I think I just wish that he could do that with different coaches that he worked with, so that when he comes back into the country, bring something fresh.
Yeah.
You know, something that people can actually follow. And with him being eyeing the Bafana job, I think that would be fantastic. But the issue is we're still having the same guys that
were there. Is he ready? Is he ready for the Bafana
job? No. But I think it's a great mentality to have as a coach. You know, as players, you want to play overseas, you want to do this. As coach as well, you can't be looking at me coaching in the PSL, winning MTN 8. I mean, really you want to have bigger dreams than that. So the problem will be when he'll be in that situation. I just hope that in the SAFA there will be new people with new ideas that are open to new ideas.
But how long have we been speaking about this?
Yeah, because in SAFA, like, guys, like, there's people are working there with wooden stick. Like, even before I was born, people working in SAFA.
Mm.
Dude, I'm 37 now. They're still there. You know what I mean? Like,
you look amazing for 37.
Wow.
You look amazing, my brother.
Honestly, you low-key look younger than when you were playing.
Wow. He was stressed, bro.
Yeah, stressed.
The man was stressed.
It was stressed.
Read his book, you'll understand.
But I just for me to actually see Benny in the Bafana team, I think I'll be more happier than anybody else, because he's one coach that as a person, when he was a player, he was always a scapegoat when it comes to Bafana Bafana.
Mm.
And then nobody expected Benny to become a coach. And then he became a coach, and a successful one, that is. And then now, if he comes back and be a national team coach, like, it'll be a great story.
Mm. Yeah.
And to prove everybody wrong, especially the guy that he worked with when he was a player, because nobody actually wished him well that he'd be a great coach, because he was a problem, according to them. They thought Benny was a problem. So now when he implements his new stuff, it'll be so great, man. We're tired of seeing these old guys that have been coaching in the PSL for 25 years and not winning a trophy. Let them open up gaps, man, for these new guys. Your Rolani.
Something fresh.
Yeah, man. Your Benny's, you know, your Surprise Marie that's on the, you know, your Papi Zotuan that is coaching MDC. We want to see those guys. We don't want to wait for them until they're 52. Let's give them an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Like, we've been seeing, like, I don't want to speak names because I don't want, but still, man, like, what is this guy's name? Exactly, Owen Dagama. How long has he been coaching?
Your mate.
He's not my mate.
Your mate, Owen.
No, but I don't hate Owen Dagama, but I'm just saying, how long has he been coaching?
Too long.
Like, there's so many coaches besides him. Yeah. Even
that's what
Johnson.
I'm saying. You're how in the circle. It's like a bizarre wheel, bro. You just jump from club to club.
You know.
It's like, it's almost a... the perception that the local teams are too scared to look outside this little cult that we've created.
They don't want to take risks. They don't want to kind of switch the status quo that's been
going. They'll come back and tell you that, no, we're looking for an experienced coach. But at the time, you're having players that have got no experience whatsoever.
Yeah.
And also, what if the experience isn't like, what if the experience is losing consistently?
Yeah, it's an experience.
Which is happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, yeah. Bless his heart, Owen Dagama came so close to a title this season. And I think it would have been his first one.
Yeah.
But lost in the final.
Yeah. No, he's doing great stuff there. Almost. At Highlands Park. But it's just that it's so sad that I made an example about him. But he's been there. I mean, really.
Almost.
It almost doesn't count.
All right, let's switch it up. We've got 5... AmaZulu player suspended.
I mean, let's quickly talk about this, but it's
yeah, we can touch on this.
It's, I mean, panic stations, I think. I tried to get hold of a few AmaZulu players. They didn't want to talk about it, understandably so. What's bizarre is you've got someone like Vilakazi and Michael Morton.
Yeah, even Majoro. Like,
I've played with Villa. I know Michael well. Top pros, both of them, without a doubt. It is just the most bizarre thing that I've ever seen. It's just panic.
Yeah.
And there's panic.
The report from independent media is suggested that the reason is negative attitude. And I can't see that as a reason to suspend 5 guys.
But five senior guys.
If you look at it, underneath all these layers that they're trying to put on them, social media and whatever the case may be, I think they're just trying to remove those guys for if they survive and then... they know that, you know, we don't have these guys. And also the reason behind that is also the packages that they have in there, the kind of salary bracket they're in there. And for the fact that maybe performance-wise, they're not giving what AmaZulu is expecting. So now the best way to deal with this, maybe to shake up the team, is, okay, these guys are not giving me 1, 2, and 3. I might as well put them aside.
Yeah, but they're still paying him.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still gonna, so forget about the money. They're still going to pay him.
Yeah,
and at the end of the season, if you're not happy... guys, I want to transfer list you.
Yeah, but what also is important as well is you look at the dressing room as well, and maybe you find, you know, when things are not going right, there's always going to be issues that comes out like that. This one doesn't greet me. This one doesn't greet. This one doesn't is always happy when we lose. There's always going to be those kind of issues. So I think, like you say, like, I think AmaZulu now is just acting on emotions right now. And they think that maybe them acting this way maybe might work out.
So you know what springs to mind here, Teko, sorry to interrupt you, is that this tells me that this is potentially a coach who's lost the change room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cannot keep control of his own change room.
Of course.
And what does he do?
And you must also understand that so many coaches, they can't deal with personalities.
Mm.
Experienced players.
Sure.
We all coaches look like that. I like experienced players. But sometimes... experienced player will ask you a question and you think that he's challenging you.
Mm.
So I think there's one of those situations where in AmaZulu where things are not going well, maybe the senior players will be vocal about it. Not because they want to be just for the sake of being vocal. Maybe they're raising a proper issue that needs to be dealt with. Maybe those are the issues that will help us change the team's fortune. But sometimes you find the coaches that actually don't play in those spaces where listening to senior players. So now these guys have been actually made scapegoats. So imagine if AmaZulu doesn't get... it gets relegated. So these guys will have that stigma of like, you guys are the bad boys. And I play with Majoro. He's not. He likes his fun, but he's a professional. When he trains, Majoro trains the way that he plays. It's just unfortunate that Ntuli is doing so well. So it's very difficult to put Ntuli out. And then Majoro started one game, I think, now against Celtic. They lost 4. And then after that, they decided to put all 5 guys on suspension. I mean, it's very, very, very dodgy. But I know that we'll have so much content when the season is done. Mm-hmm. They'll come and tell us once their contract has been terminated, whatever the case may be. Because all the small teams, they behave the same. Your Leopards, your AmaZulu,
Polokwane,
they all behave the same. The chairmans are all behaving the same.
Yeah.
Due respect to them, they all behave the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're making decisions based on emotions, not on
panic stations, bro.
Exactly.
Panic stations. That's what I can say.
It's time for pole position.
Pole position.
Pole position is where we ask the fans their opinions on stories in the PSL, in local football. And we asked fans, Has Orlando Pirates season been a success or a failure, all things considered?
Pirates, since CPK number 2 ahlekahle yenza kangcono nje kule season ngeke ngize ngiqambe lamanga ngasho ukuthi yenza kangcono besides ukuthi seyiphumile kwi last 3-2 but yenza kangcono yona season engicabanga ukuthi izoba ngcono kunamanye ama season.
They not failures but they are successes.
Speaking about the this season, it was the worst season. Yes, they are number 2, but compared to the last season, this one is the worst one. After Mitchell left, then we started to have more problems. We are depending on other teams to make us favors. I don't think it's a successful season because we failed, so this season is the worst season.
Orlando Pirates seasons, it's mixed of emotions, first of all. There were no unity in the team. The structure was not there.
Success.
English and black people
like a friend. Name of a porn movie, bro.
Success.
Ooh, loved that so much.
Oh man,
when we listened to that, we were like, what? Success.
That's beautiful.
It is an interesting question. I mean, the one guy brought up the fact that ever since Mitro left, there was like kind of people weren't sure in the camp and things changed. But now that there's a new coach, in the PSL at the very least, they're doing very well. We have to give respect where it's due. But they did get knocked out of the Nedbank Cup.
Yeah, which we can touch on a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think if I was a Pirates fan, it's a mixed bag. But it is a very, very – the future looks bright.
Mm.
Very positive. And even more so that when Mitchie was there, I just think there's just a lot more freedom. There's a lot more unity. And I think the Wits game, when they played the Nedbank Cup, they played Wits, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely destroyed by the referee. I mean, it was an absolute disgrace what this, which is it, Victor Gomez. I mean, giving that penalty against Makaringa, which was never a penalty. And then he walks to the penalty spot pointing like he's just notices a free cheeseburger or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's one of those decisions where you can see he reacted because the players reacted.
Exactly.
Because it clearly hits his chest.
But didn't that come off a penalty not given on the other side of the pitch?
No, that was an extra time, I think. Well, that was just that was an extra time, the penalty. So who went down? Matupa was brought down.
Matupa was brought down. No penalty
was given.
And then from there became...
Then Mamele was brought down, which was a penalty. Yeah, they were both penalties.
Yeah. Mm.
And then Shachwai went to the referee to question what's going on. He gets booked. He's the captain. He can do what the f*** he wants.
Mm.
And then, it's just typical Victor Gomez, bro. Wants to be the star of the show. He does my head in.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do agree. I watched that game, and honestly speaking, Pirates were kind of... They were... What's the right word? They deserve to go through, man. Like, they played their ass off, and it was such an entertaining game, but the... officiating there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, Godinho comes, scores the winning penalty. What a way to mark your, you know, to stake your presence at Wits.
Yeah.
And when we saw that now. So he is starting in the middle, Shachwai on the right, and it seems to be working. So well done to Wits.
But I think also for touching on Pirates,
yeah.
For me, I think they're still on the same track they were last season.
Mm.
They finished second last season with, I think, 57 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win the last 10 games, they'll be on 66. Mm. So that will be like an improvement to the previous season. Yeah, and also in terms of the goals that they conceded this season and last season, at this time they're on the right track. Like they conceded less this time.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
You know, and they're scoring more. So that's
and they're in between goalkeepers.
Yeah,
that's a good sign.
Yeah. So now it's looking at the team. It's improving. Yes. But whether the season's success or not, I believe that it's not. For Orlando Pirates team, it can never be a success when you don't win any trophy.
Yeah.
You know, and you can play beautiful football and entertaining football, crowd coming in, cheering. But at the end of the season, the bragging rights goes to the guys that actually has the trophies. Because I can imagine when the awards are there and no Pirates team is actually at the awards. You know, it's painful for them, and it's going to be worse now because if Kaizer Chiefs win the league, the whole Kaizer Chiefs team will be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be worse. You know, and last season, the only player I think that was there at the awards, it was Lodge.
Yeah.
you know, nobody else from Pirates. So it's and if you go back again, it's always one of those things. And I think they need to come back to winning trophies. And from where they are right now with the momentum that they have, of course, it'll be difficult to keep the same momentum even next season. But if they improve on what they have, they'll be a very, very difficult team to beat. Because I think they've got the stronger squad than anybody else.
Title contenders.
Yeah, very, very so. So, but it's just that now with the fans, I agree with the fans that are actually saying this is not a successful season because of the fact of the matter is there's no trophy in the cabinet.
Yeah.
But entertaining football, yes. But there's no trophy for entertaining football at the end of the season.
Exactly. Know?
So, but I believe that Orlando Pirates are on the right track. They just need to fight for second position and build from there. I mean, second position, that's where they were last season. Just build from there. Just build from there. And what's important as well, it's also to add numbers where you actually need. Like, if they have to add on numbers, let them add on the strikers.
Yeah.
Like, Gabba is doing very great right now. They need to add on maybe same characteristics as Gabba because that's how they play. They rely. They don't need a target man. Whenever they have a target man, it becomes a struggle because you're losing that fluidity in front with Lodge and Memela making those runs. So you need a striker that is very mobile. So I'm sure they've got a smart coach, and Orlando Pirates it's a big team, and they know exactly what they're doing. But if Kaizer Chiefs win the league this season, I think it'll open so many eyes from Orlando Pirates' side as well. What is it that they need to do from SuperSport as well, from Mamelodi Sundowns? So it'll be the wake-up call. So it'll be great. If Kaizer Chiefs win the league, it'll be great for the PSL.
Yeah, I definitely say it's not a failure, not a success. More like a
success.
You stupid.
Love that.
Leave my guy alone.
All right, let's do some gossip, guys. In the papers today, we have apparently Pirates and Chiefs were both chasing Bongi Ntuli. Pirates are currently leading the race. So we were just discussing Pirates. It's interesting that they want to pair up Gabadinho and Ntuli. You know, Ntuli's been the star man for AmaZulu this season.
He's been the only man.
The only man, literally.
58.
What do you think of a potential Pirates side next season with Ntuli and Gabadinho up top?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think they'll work well together. But, you know, when you're Ntuli and you're performing at this level with, no disrespect to AmaZulu, but with that team at the moment, you're going to create so much interest from the big boys.
Yeah.
Is Sundowns the right choice for him? Not convinced.
Yeah.
Is Chiefs not convinced? Is Pirates possibly? Possibly.
Yeah.
But he's got to move.
Yeah.
That's the big one. He has to move. And I think Pirates could be a good decision, eh?
Could be.
I think so. What could do you think, Tex?
Also, the pressure, right, is kind of off him. With AmaZulu, he's the only guy that they go to.
Whereas
he shows up to Pirates, it's Gabadinho's show, and he's kind of...
But also, the challenge will be at AmaZulu, if he doesn't score for two games, life continues as normal. Orlando Pirates, it won't. So that's the biggest challenge. You know, as much as they've created, as much as it's created so much interest, it's just that because I played with him at Sundowns, he was unbelievable when he got there, and we were like, oh, finally got our man. But now, you know, sometimes moving maybe at the right time but to a wrong team. At the time, you know, you have so many good players around you, so the expectations are higher and higher and higher. But he has matured ever since then. But now the challenge will be, if he goes to Orlando Pirates, he misunderstands what comes with playing for Orlando Pirates. The 7 goals that he scored now, they mean nothing to Orlando Pirates. He needs to score 14.
Yeah.
You know, with Gabba, is there. So now Gabba can say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
That's cool. But now the expectations also for Gabba next season, if he doesn't move, he stays Orlando Pirates, he needs to score more than what he has scored. So now we all know that the last time Orlando Pirates had a top goal scorer, it's been a while, Chief. It's been a while. So now the pressure on anybody that comes at Orlando Pirates as a striker, they need to understand that, Chief, you're there to score goals, irrespective of how the team is playing. Pirates need somebody to rely. Midfielders, they always find great midfielders.
Yeah.
Orlando Pirates make
you can sometimes hide a bit in the midfield, can't you? But, I mean, to sign as a goalkeeper or a striker or someone like Orlando Pirates, you got to fit in, but otherwise you got
to
get out of there.
But for profile purposes, it'll be great for Ntuli to go there and test the waters, man. You'll never know. But But if I just wish that, you know, he will go to like a super sport where there's no pressure. They had the who score regularly and still get the bag, you know, still secure the bag.
Because
I know the pressure that comes with playing for Orlando Pirates. I'm just saying to these guys, you must understand, Orlando Pirates, it's it's equivalent actually to Bafana Bafana, because you can't bring your normal performance there in that team. It's not acceptable. Yeah, they can replace you tomorrow. You know, you play well today, next week somebody else comes in and play better.
They're not
than
scared
you.
To do that, are they?
Yeah, so the competition for Ntuli will be higher and the expectations will be higher, so he needs to be prepared mentally now. But he has survived the jungle, man. So yeah. I think if he goes to Orlando Pirates, yeah, Amazon is a jungle chief.
Yeah.
Nah, that's why they call Usu to it. So, but if he goes to, he needs to move most definitely. Then if he moves to Orlando Pirates, that would be a great move for him.
Yeah.
And also, you also want to say as a player, like I play for one of the biggest teams in the country, and the Orlando Pirates will give you that platform for you to shine. It's up to your player to shine.
I couldn't agree more.
And then the other story in the papers, apparently Sundowns offered Cape Town City upwards of 10 million rand for Erasmus. Cape Town City somehow held on to him. It's an interesting thing. I wouldn't have seen that coming, actually, to be honest.
Look, I mean, that was sort of last minute, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then he goes and pulls his hamstring. So can you imagine if that did go through?
Imagine.
Wow.
But I think also it's you look at it, I don't think Kemet was the first preference at all.
No, I think if Matupa was still...
Yeah, it was Matupa. And then I'm like, okay, let's see who or Kemet, you know?
Yeah.
So and I don't think...
It was a bit of a panic buy if it was going to happen.
So the question would be whether they're going to offer 10 million to Vets for Ntuli. Or just 10
Matupa,
million. For Matupa, sorry. Or it's just because it's Cape Town City offering us 10 million. I think Kemet is worth more than that. He still has age in his side. He just needs to be managed properly.
Yeah.
And man, Ntuli's got, I mean, Matupa. Matupa's got, he's got other qualities that Kemet or Erasmus doesn't have. But Kemet has got so much quality that Matupa doesn't have. So I think 10 million is nothing, man. If they want to actually buy the boy, they must dig deeper.
I'm sure.
Got a ball hard.
I'm sure John Kamitsis would have been asking more than 10 million.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, come on. Kemet, it's 10 million. It's like you're buying Slough from Manchester United. we're talking about Kemet.
Slough dog. And change, eh?
Yeah.
And change from Slough.
Yeah. So if and I think Mamelodi Sundowns has paid more than that to other teams to secure the players that they never used. So we know that the way that they play, Kemet will actually fit in as a false nine in that system.
Mm.
So that there's so many qualities that Kemet will bring into that team. So 10 million, I mean, come on.
Definitely. More, worth more.
He is worth more.
Yes, sir.
So definitely.
I've got this week in history. I've got a bit of a story time at the end, so bear with me. But on this day, actually Valentine's Day back in 2000, Kuwait set a world record by beating Bhutan 20-0. In an Asian Cup qualifier. On the 16th of Feb back in 1964, Bebeto, who was the star of the 1994 World Cup, created the famous goal celebration. This actually surprised me. He was the first player to do this, the cradling the baby.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
First player in history to do it. And lastly, this story time, I know that I'm bringing up Arsenal again, but this is such a good story. It's ridiculous. 17th of February 1940, the Arsenal Stadium mystery opened in theatres across Britain. Directed by Thorold Dickinson, the movie was one of the first to include football in a prominent role. The story follows Inspector Anthony Slade as he attempts to solve the murder of a football player who died from poisoning while his amateur side, the Trojans, were playing a friendly against Arsenal at Highbury. The movie was actually filmed at Highbury, with several Arsenal players appearing in the film. But of all the gunners and staff to appear in the film, only manager George Alison had a speaking role. To film scenes of the match between Arsenal and Trojans, Dickinson shot footage of an actual league match between the Gunners and Brentford on the 6th of May 1939. In order to double as the Trojans, the Brentford players wore special striped kits just for that occasion.
Oh, wow.
And the actual match ended as a 2-0 win for Arsenal. It was the last match either side played before the league suspended football for World War II.
Wow. That's just insane, eh?
Simon read this story to me earlier. I was like, what?
That's every, so cool.
Every single part of that story makes no sense to me. It's the most ridiculous thing. Can you imagine, like, showing up to the dressing room? Coach is like, by the way, guys, we're going to be in a movie. You're going to have to wear these different kits and everything.
And the war's starting tomorrow.
Yeah. We need to make it quick.
Yeah. We're all gonna die.
Absolutely remarkable. Do we got some players abroad?
Players abroad on Sakalaguma Radio.
Oh, I love that little intro, hey? Right, cool. Bongani Zungu, Percy Tau, Tsibang Pete, and Lebo Motiba all started on their bench for their respective teams. Danny Amos, Hendrik Eksteen, Ayanda Potosi, Keegan Jacobs, Darren Keats, Lebo Khangpiri, and Andrew Sermon all started for their respective teams over the weekend.
Nice.
And Darren Smith, mm-hmm. ex-Super Sport striker, now playing in Finland, scored. And Tom Barkas, and he plays for Preston North End, scored in Saturday's 2-1 win over Wigan Athletic.
Very, the boys. Very, very nice. And I also saw, Pule Eksteen was named in the team of the week for the Azerbaijan.
Yeah, he posted that.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So
where, finding his form.
Where?
Azerbaijan. Can you say it?
No, I'm not even
gonna try. There we go. Can you spell it?
Then I'm just saying, Super Sport, I'm looking for Azerbaijan Premier League matches, man. We need that.
No, we don't. Trust me.
No, we don't. I'd rather bring the Bundesliga or something.
Definitely. Well, staying abroad, we got the international news desk. I like this. So official. Dele Alli had to issue an apology for making a racist coronavirus joke. So he was chilling in a restaurant, and there was a Chinese dude in the restaurant.
Of course there was. Films,
he's got his mask on. He's got his mask on, and he filmed this Chinese guy, and he was like, you know, basically like spooked out. So he has to issue an apology
of
for
that. Of course he does. How can you do that?
I don't know why
Dele Alli, man.
It.
I mean, sakes. It comes with the territory.
It's also
act
dumb.
Like a human.
It's also dumb because it was on Snapchat. Like, you can just send that video to your friends.
I know.
Like, you don't have to post it for everyone.
Like, I know. It's ridiculous. I mean, I was in the airport yesterday and there was warnings about coronavirus.
Yeah,
it's scary, man. It's crazy, yeah.
Chinese Super League got postponed or suspended for a while because of the coronavirus as well.
And he's in trouble as well for that. I'm talking about Dele Alli. He's in trouble for that. So he might be suspended or something like that.
Yeah.
So the league also, for their own clause and what. And I think they don't allow players to post such things. You know, they'll bring the league into
are they actually looking?
Yeah, they're investigating.
That's the word you're thinking of.
Leave me alone, Chief.
are they actually looking at suspending him?
Yeah, they're investigating. Oh, wow. Which I'll tell you just now. It's FA's rule 3.1, which prohibits players from creating social media posts considered improper or which bring the game into. Ah, fantastic!
The down one says no to Gaston.
So what happened is, like, you remember, what's this boy, Silva? Is it Alberto Silva? The one in Manchester City?
David Silva.
No, the other one.
Tony.
Bernardo Silva.
Bernardo
Silva.
Yeah, he was fined £50,000.
Yes. Yeah, but £50,000 to them is nothing.
Yeah
but it's a fine. So
what,
£50,000.
What are they for again?
He was making a joke with, who's this French boy that plays on the left? The big guy.
For City?
Yeah, for City.
Jeez, I'm a bad City fan.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm
he's,
PSL.
He's French. He's playing in France.
France?
He's
a left footer, man. He plays his left back. So now he made a joke about him. You know that players making jokes about each other. So I think also he had that. And he had to apologize for that. He was fined 50,000. And not rands, pounds. And then he was suspended for one match. So they're looking to do that with Dele Alli as well.
It's a dumb mistake, but I will say that I've seen that joke a lot.
Yeah.
It's you know people kind of try and make light of a dire situation always. So it's interesting.
But it just, you know how EPL is. They've got a responsibility. The number one, you know, league in the world. So they've got a responsibility to uphold. So as much as we can have fun and find fun side of it, but it's just that with other people, you know, it rubs them off.
Idiot.
Good. Yeah, it's very idiotic.
Idiotic.
Another idiotic thing, a 12-year-old boy was charged for racist chants against Rangers striker Alfredo Morelos.
Who the f*** are his parents, bro?
That's the thing. This is what I was saying.
Come on.
How the f*** are you going to charge a 12-year-old kid, fam? Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to find him?
Oh, man.
You're going to be suspended to the games. That's it. Simple as that. Ban the kid
his
for like 10
years. His parents are f***. I can tell you that.
Who are the... Yeah. They're like... And tickets were expensive. I'm not going to those matches.
Damn.
But I think the biggest story from the international news, FIFA and FIFPro are going to launch a global fund for player salary protection. I know for a fact Deco has some thoughts on this.
You know for a fact?
I know for a fact.
Okay.
So I'll throw the mic to you.
What were you saying? Yeah.
FIFA.
Yeah, man. It'll be dope because now you find players that teams don't want to pay them because maybe they think maybe there's a breach of contract. So that will help so many players as well. And, you know, unfair termination of the contracts as well. And I mean, I think we've spoken about this, whether it was off air, I don't remember. But
I think it was last week we touched on this.
Yeah, I think it's look, imagine the importance of it. Like you've been saved, like saved so much money for you. And even when you're done playing, like you still have, you know, some kind of money that you can actually use. I think when it comes to those aspects, I think it's very great. I think us as a PSL, we're trying to copy the best. We're trying to copy all these good things that other people are doing, other leagues that are doing. I think those are the right step. I think we need to also consider that as a PSL to look at those kind of things and to break this generational curse of footballers after we're done playing, it's finished. You know, we have to go to them and knock on the doors and ask for jobs. I think this initiative, I mean, it will be very, very
good.
Yeah, beneficiary for players. It'll be a game changer, dude. Like it'll be.
How long that will take, though, is a different story.
Yeah.
How effective it'll be, also a different story.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we've seen, I mean, we were discussing Chiefs earlier. FIFA's management of non-European leagues hasn't been the greatest.
I mean, and even the PSL 3-4 weeks ago have gone on record saying that if a player has if he's not getting paid by a club here, you cannot go to the DRC anymore.
Mm. Yeah,
you've actually got to go to court.
Yeah.
So the players are not protected in this country.
Yeah, no.
There's nothing stopping a team here not paying a player and running the risk of going to court because the players can't afford to go to the court.
Of course. Yeah.
So that's what we're dealing with here. It's unbelievable.
I can't be fighting for my salary and be able to pay lawyers in court.
Come on, exactly. Bro.
And who's gonna do that pro bono?
No, that's unbelievable. I think, like I said, I think FIFA Pro and FIFA, they need to set up a global fund for slavery for players in this country. I promise you, there's we players in South Africa, when you're so good, clap hands for you, and then once we're done with you, we don't even care of your well being. We don't even care where you are. I think in general, if this thing also can be implemented, I'm not saying now, but I'm just saying in the future, PSL needs to look at it and find ways out to actually make sure that the players can still actually afford their living lifestyle after they've retired, because they're the actual people that actually they don't want to pay players more. Mm. And they think that at a certain age, you're only required to ask for certain amount of money.
Mm. Certain match. Yeah.
That guy affected me.
Successor.
So now like in South Africa, when you're 28, 29, you can actually, you're standing a better chance of getting a better contract.
Yeah.
Ever. So now, and so also in South Africa, you're getting an opportunity to play in the PSL when you are 26, 27. So you're still a youngster. So your actual lifespan in the PSL tops is 8 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
If you play 10, you're lucky.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, we'll still have those kind of issues once you retire. You know, sustainability won't be there. So this might help. And hopefully, you know, also we'll start using our youngsters early on. You know, like when you're 16, 17, start playing at an early age, you're getting exposure at an early age. So when you're 29 already, you've made enough money.
Mm.
But now in South Africa, you're starting at 25, 26, at Chipper United, they're giving you 7,000 before tax. It comes there 5.2. And then you play for 3 years, they increase it with 300 rands every year. Then you move to Orlando Pirates, they're giving you 40.
This is just an example, people.
Just an example. You move into Orlando Pirates, they give you 40. Yeah. And that's a big step from 7 to 40.
Still not enough.
Yeah. You get to 40, the first thing that you do Orlando Pirates is you buy an M4, you get to a house, you buy a 2 million house. Now your debt's like what now? 30,000, 35,000. You know, so those are the problems that we have. What else And in Europe, when you're 16, 17, you can pay off your mom's house.
You can
pay off certain things. Not in this country. When you come in, they give you 80,000 standing on fee.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's that? And then. And also, I don't
That's
have...
It's a night out with Teco.
No, man. I don't have a problem also with foreign players in the country. But I just believe that when it comes to salary payments, they always prefer anybody outside South Africa, whether from Zimbabwe, Mozambique, like you always Brazil. Have the first preference. Yeah, we're getting from Brazil to come and play in this country. For the fact that they're not good there, what makes you think they'll be good here? But anyway, that's a topic for another day. So I'm just saying, listen, imagine you're getting a boy from Mozambique. He played in Costa do Sol. Ne?
Yeah.
Costa do Sol, maybe the highest paid player, there's 8,000 rands.
Yeah.
You bring him to the country, you give him 65,000. Then you get Temba from Khayelitsha, the player that you can invest on. When he comes into the team, you give him 15,000 rands. Because why? Because he's from here. Because you understand his culture, you understand his background. The guy that you don't even know his background, you understand certain things that you don't want to understand because you want to give him more because you think that they're in the country to make more. Why don't we empower people more as well? Like if we sign a foreign player, when it comes to the country, it must be better than what we have.
Of course.
But normally we don't.
Of course.
We just go for the cheapest thing.
Of course.
You can go back to Dex. Dex, he's better than who? No, guys.
That's a good question.
Yeah, but he's better than who?
It's a good question.
Like if Becks have to sign for Kaiser Chiefs, you've got so many players that are Kaiser Chiefs that haven't even been used. They're way better than Becks.
Yeah.
Now he comes from Madagascar to come here. There's no issue with Madagascar, but he comes here. He gets the first preference. He gets an opportunity to play for Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah.
What are there so many boys within the country that plays better football? They don't get that opportunity to play for Kaiser Chiefs. I mean, really, guys.
Exactly.
Why are we valuing players
that are coming? We can't change the system, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that we value players that are not South Africans. We value them more. Like now we're talking about Sereno like we've never seen. Like there's no Lodge, like there's no Tembazwan, there's no Villegas. What is Sereno doing that Memela is not doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much hype about foreign players, but also we've got our own that we need to speak about.
Yeah.
Our own that we need to embrace. And we never do that. We know every stats of Messi and Ronaldo, but we don't know stats for Memel. We don't know stats for Tembazwani. Mm-hmm. We don't know all those things. I think it's a problem where we embrace. That's why they feel like they can come into the country and tell us, I'm going to score 20 goals.
Yeah.
I think we're profiling them too soon as well. So yeah. I think that's the problem.
Prove yourself.
Agree.
Yeah, they need to prove themselves. Because you sign for Orlando Pirates next week. The same company, this building, they give him a cover. Zungu signed for it. You'll see Zungu will be on the cover next week. And what? He hasn't done anything, guys. He hasn't worn even Pirates jersey. He hasn't even played. Let's see what he does at Orlando Pirates before we can profile him. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Indeed.
Couldn't agree more.
So let's do an update on the leaderboard, please.
So Chiefs versus Royal Eagles. You both said Chiefs. You both got it right. Sundowns versus SuperSport United. Teko, you got that one right.
What an idiot.
And then obviously, you know, Pirates versus Wits. But both got it wrong. Interesting enough, that leaves Teko leading with 31 out of 49 and Sean on 30 out of 49.
It's getting hot.
It's getting hot in here.
Let's see where that's going.
Let's swiftly move on to upcoming games in the PSL. The Absa Premiership returns this weekend. We've got Sundowns versus Chipper United, Kaizer Chiefs versus Maritzburg United, and Black Leopards versus Orlando Pirates. Thoughts, gents?
Quickly, very quickly, there's not going to be any upsets here, I don't think. That's from my personal opinion. I know Maritzburg are on a bit of a winning streak. Big win against Budapest Wits last night. They play Kaiser Chiefs away. I think the way Kaiser Chiefs are playing, they're going to win that. So I'm going a Chiefs win. I'm going a Sundowns, a very convincing win against my favorite, Chipper United. And we've got Orlando Pirates playing Black Leopards away.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just... it is the most horrific place ever. But Orlando Pirates have no choice but to win.
Yeah,
I'm going for... I'm even considering a draw, to be honest. I'm going for a Pirates win. That's it. The big boys winning.
Same.
I think because the Chiefs will win, but it will be a very tight game. I think they'll win. And Sundowns sometimes struggle with Chipper, but they end up winning.
It's at home as well, so...
Yeah. And with the Orlando Pirates, if they want to keep their hopes up and continue with the form that they have to win there. It's a very difficult day, but I think also those are two teams that play with so much pace and speed. I think they'll cancel each other out. I think you're going to be one of those individual brilliance that comes into the game. But I think Orlando Pirates will win convincingly 2-0.
I think it's one of those games that whoever keeps a clean sheet is going to win the game, and that's a bit obvious. But I do think there's going to be goals.
Yeah.
I don't see Black Leopards creating.
Too many chances
to score on the Pirates. I don't see them.
Yeah. I'm only watching that match to see Gabadinho hit 15. That's the only reason why I'm tuning in. When last did we see that?
Have you actually watched a PSL game?
I watched PSL games,
no,
man.
No, you don't.
Spreading lies.
He's a good liar, this guy.
False rumors out
here. We're forced to watch the game. Job.
Just because y'all are super sport boys.
It's our job to watch the games.
Do we got a car of the week?
We have got a car of the week. Staying on a sort of Amazulu, we've got Klantla Vilakazi has got the new BMW 32i.
Nice.
They say driving a BMW 3 Series is like watching a Drake music video. You try to find something missing, but it's just impossible. That's how good it is, apparently. The original 3 Series was born in 1975, but the four-door sedan version only appeared in 1983. 1983, a big year because I was born. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
The question.
Which one?
It's rated 10 out of 10 for handling, 9 out of 10 for comfort, 9 out of 10 for quality, 10 out of 10 for practicality, and 9 out of 10 for safety, which is a bit concerning.
So
you sort of want a 10 out of 10 for safety, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's the only thing from 1983 that's rated 10 out of 10 for handling, am I right?
Very, very good. Entry level around for this car is 475,000 rand, brand new.
Oof.
410?
Entry level.
475. Oh.
475.
With no Bluetooth and whatnot.
Correct. Yeah. He's got all that in, but yeah. For about 750, so I would imagine.
Gets to 750 when it's...
750.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm chasing that car, and you know what? I think I might need some motivation to get there.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
So cute. Look at you. The motivational quote of the day. I'm going with Tapelo Morena after that horrific injury.
Ish, dude.
Mm. Get better, brother. Train harder, run faster, play stronger, stun them all.
That's what I'm talking about. Like,
man,
that was tough to
speedy
watch,
recovery, chief.
Yeah, speedy recovery.
Speedy recovery. I'm going to end today on a fun fact because I'm feeling like it. Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Cristiano Ronaldo are the only two players to have scored in every minute of a match in European football.
Wow.
And speaking of Zlatan, he was asked when he joined Milan, he was asked, how does it feel to play with in the same league as the best footballer of all time? And then he said he didn't know that Messi was playing in Italy.
Can you say that?
Yes. Wow. That's Zlatan for you, too.
Damn.
Zlatan knows. He knows the facts. He knows the hard facts. That is how we wrap up episode 14 of The Car Wash. Thank you very much for tuning in, whether it be YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, SL Radio, whatever it may be. To Teko and Sean, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Today is a great day for Car Wash.
Yeah, sure. Car Wash. This is The Car Wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.